Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Monday, April 14, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Wert Ahmed, and we have a great show for you today. There's a lot of topics. There's a lot going on. Firstly, now Dubai's RTA has revealed the roads and transport plan for 2030. We're seeing how populated Dubai is becoming. Secondly, DP World has officially begun development on Bharat Mart. And thirdly, Dubai Municipality has awarded 1.4 billion dirhams worth of contracts for four key projects under the Tasrif Initiative. And Saudi Arabia has more women than men in the AI sector. For all the women listening, I know that this is very exciting to hear. And finally, the UAE's ninth globally, first among emerging markets on 2025 Foreign Direct Investment Confidence Index. We're going to tell you about it, and I think this one's the most exciting. You need to wait until the end to hear about it. So this Saudi prince, the son of Al-Walid bin Talal, has actually invested into the de-extinction of dire wolves.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you all about that.
Let's quickly start because we have a lot of stories today. Dubai is tackling its mounting traffic congestion with an ambitious new Roads and Transport Plan 2030, which was unveiled by RTA, Roads and Transport Authority of Dubai. With over 3.5 million vehicles on the road every day and car ownership growing at rates far exceeding the global average, city authorities have unveiled a sweeping strategy aimed at reducing congestion, improving mobility, and enhancing road safety across the emirate.
Now, a key highlight of the plan is a proposed 65-kilometer suspended transport system featuring small pods gliding over traffic on elevated rails. Can you even imagine that? Now, this complements the upcoming 30-kilometer Blue Line Metro expansion, which will add 14 new stations by September 2029. Now, in parallel, 20 kilometers of dedicated bus and taxi lanes are scheduled for completion between 2025 and 2027, aimed at cutting public transport travel times by up to 60%.
And the city also will also roll out intelligent traffic systems covering 100% of the road network with real-time monitoring, enhanced emergency response, and adaptive traffic lights designed to ease congestion.
And see, the reason why this is so important, I feel, Majid, is because it's a shift towards behavioral solutions. Now, you know, Dubai is encouraging remote work and flexible office hours to reduce peak time traffic, a move that could ease morning congestion by up to 30%. I feel like we all need that. Now, authorities are also pushing for increased use of school buses, which could reduce traffic near educational institutions by 13%.
Finally, Dubai will implement 39 major road development projects with key upgrades planned for Hissa Street, Jumeirah Road, and Al Maidan. The Roads and Transport Plan 2030 is a bold step to future-proof Dubai's infrastructure and keep the city moving efficiently for years to come.
And the city will definitely move for years to come because there are just so many developments. And one of them is that DP World has officially begun development on Bharat Mart, a major warehouse and trading hub aimed at Indian micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs. Now, the Dubai-based port operator announced plans to launch the facility by the end of 2026 in an effort to strengthen UAE-India trade ties.
Located in the jewelry-free zone, Bharat Mart will span 2.7 million square feet. The first phase alone will cover 1.3 million square feet, featuring 1,500 showrooms, over 700,000 square feet of warehouse space, light industrial units, and office facilities.
Now, the project actually initially attracted the interest of over 9,000 Indian MSMEs during an outreach campaign in October 2024. Now, it actually aims to serve as a launchpad for Indian goods into international markets via Dubai's logistics ecosystem.
Bharat Mart is also a part of a broader push to grow India-Africa trade with the goal of doubling India's share of African imports to 12% by 2030.
Now, DP World will also support exporters with infrastructure and services, including export finance, branding, packaging, and certification, positioning Bharat Mart as a global gateway for Indian MSMEs. And just recently, we both saw how His Highness Sheikh Hamdan, the Crown Prince of Dubai, was in India.
Yeah.
And this is, I feel like this is such a buildup. This is like the domino effect of this. And There's definitely going to be more to come.
Yeah, and April is here. We talked about April 14. If you were here in Dubai and in the UAE last April, you would remember the vicious, dangerous rains that happened. And on that note, Dubai is moving forward with a major upgrade to its stormwater infrastructure. The Dubai municipality has awarded 1.4 billion dirham worth of contracts for four key projects under the Tasreef initiative, according to the Dubai Media Office.
Now these projects aim to enhance flood protection and expand the city's drainage capacity. Works will cover major areas including Nad al-Hamar, Al-Garhoud, and Jumeirah, with over 36 kilometers of new drainage lines planned. Now, the lines will be integrated with the main Tasreef tunnel, connecting systems across the emirate.
And Tasreef was approved by Dubai, after Dubai experienced its heaviest rainfall in 75 years in April last year. The total investment for the initiative is estimated at 30 billion dirhams.
Separately, the UAE has announced 421 million dirhams in water-saving projects to further address future flood risks through innovative solutions. Now, what I love about this, Majid, is they found a solution.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, the floods destroyed our city. That's not happening again.
Yeah. Last week, Dubai also issued requests for proposals for the Dubai Strategic Sewerage Tunnels, DSSST, 2SS actually, DSST, a project set to modernize sewage infrastructure through a public-private partnership model.
Now, for the next topic, this one
really
makes me happy.
Yeah.
There is actually more Saudi Arabian women than Saudi Arabian men in AI. Now, Saudi Arabia has actually emerged as a global leader in AI workforce inclusion, topping the charts for female representation in artificial intelligence, according to the newly released Stanford AI Index Report 2025. This is real.
Yeah.
This is real, y'all. Now, the kingdom now boasts the highest female-to-male ratio in AI-related employment worldwide, a milestone attributed to the national strategies under Saudi Vision 2030.
And a major driver behind this success is SDAIA's Elevate program, a Saudi Elevate program, created in partnership with Google Cloud. The initiative aims to train over 25,000 Saudi women in AI and emerging tech, closing gender gaps and empowering women in the digital economy. Is just one part of a broader national effort to build AI capabilities and cultivate local talent.
Now, beyond gender parity, Saudi Arabia is also third globally for AI job growth in 2024 and fourth in the number of leading AI models, ranking alongside tech powerhouses like the US, China, and France.
And the kingdom is investing heavily in AI infrastructure, education, and international partnerships. Projects like the National AI Olympiad, University Accelerators, and the Arabic language model Alam are helping establish Saudi Arabia as a key player in culturally relevant AI technologies.
Now, Saudi Arabia is also shaping global AI ethics. This is not something that we touch upon all the time. Now, the International Center for AI Research and Ethics, launched in Riyadh under UNESCO, positions the kingdom in the forefront of responsible AI governance with ongoing partnerships with NVIDIA and Microsoft. Saudi Arabia is rapidly cementing its status as a global force in the AI revolution. Now, when I'm taking a look at this, Majid, there's also something else that I'm remembering. Do you remember when we were discussing how Apple is soon opening its first store in Saudi Arabia? I'm not sure if it's this year or next year.
Next year.
But
the first physical store comes next year, but online store comes this year.
So 2026, Apple is going to open their first store in Saudi Arabia. But this was something that really stood out to me. And there's this all-woman Apple Developer Academy located at Princess Noura Bint Abdurrahman University, which basically offers like world-class training for aspiring coders, designers, entrepreneurs, preparing them for like their future careers. And it nearly has 2,000 students enrolled. So this fact that there are more Saudi women in AI, it's a fact that I think the Saudi government and the initiatives and I believe even the expectations that it's placed on businesses that are opening in Saudi is to, you know, push women further into this field. And this is something that makes me really proud to see, honestly, women in STEM.
The interesting thing is that when you listen to all the women who have been empowered yeah. after Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's mm. initiatives came into act, the driving thing, the first mm. F1 driver, the first this driver, the first woman in this. We have the ambassador to the U.S., Princess Reem.
Princess Reem.
She is the very first woman ambassador to the U.S.
Yes.
There's so many places oh. where they've pushed them.
There's also one more. Yeah. I remember we published this video and a lot of people loved the way that this girl spoke. Her name
oh, yeah.
her name was Jenna Al-Rifi. And Jenna Al-Rifi is actually the youngest engineer, a part of the NEOM project, which, as you guys know, is worth trillions of dollars. And she was basically speaking at the 69th U.S. Commission on the Status of Women in New York. And yeah. she was speaking in such beautiful Arabic Majid. I mean, you know, young women in Saudi, they're given an opportunity to do so much. And I think this story here, the reason why it's so special is because it stands, you know, it stands against those who come and say that, you know, women are abused in Saudi.
Yeah, or the regime
exactly.
is oppressive.
Exactly.
Or they're not allowed to do this or that. They're allowed to do literally anything they want to do.
Westerners who are, like, pushing that yeah. narrative, like, that's completely untrue. And if you focused on the Apple Academy I told you about, it's all women.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, by the way, it's a wrong thing for a woman to say, I don't want to work with men.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You don't if that's a part of your, you know, your Muslim practices, if that's whatever it is, if that's not something you feel comfortable with, that's okay. And I love how Saudi Arabia has made a place for that nonetheless. Because
yeah.
I feel like in other parts of the world, it's very awkward to say, hey, like, I'm very religious. I don't really want to work with male counterparts. Like, you know, you won't always yeah. find these, like, initiatives like that in all-woman academy. I mean,
I think this is more like an educational environment. If you go to a, like, corporate environment, I think even then they don't mind now. They have, I know,
have
I remember,
spaces,
like,
though.
10 years ago, I read this, it was very long ago, I don't even remember where, but it just clicked to my mind
yeah.
that the women in Saudi Arabia, they were not accepted in the corporate environment as well. And that was like a Western report that I read, 100% some Western propaganda, legacy media.
Mm.
But now when I went there and I saw, you will go and you will see as well that it's not the case. Actually, men respect them more in the corporate environments and they're very open to them coming. Since, again, it comes from the top. So the leadership is very, very vocal about this idea. Crown Prince is very vocal about women participating in the economy, doing the jobs, working and everything. So everyone now has a different mindset, even if it was there, that, oh, women shouldn't be working with us in the environment.
Yeah.
Because of the leadership's change in mindset or bringing a new mindset, everyone's mindset changes.
And you
changes.
Know, by the way, like, imagine
you
what
need
you
good
were
leadership,
saying,
right?
What you're saying is confirmed, because I remember I saw this interview with Princess Reem.
Yeah.
So Saudi's U.S. ambassador. I saw the interview, and it was on the NBC, and she was basically saying that with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Sulaiman, he always comes to her and he's like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Do you need help with these woman-led initiatives?
Yeah.
Is there anything that I can do for you? And I think, you know, it's the fact that that's there. And I know it's Monday morning, guys, but, you know, women in Saudi, they never used to drive.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that, you know, we don't deep now because, you know, Saudi's doing such big things now, but they have come so far. They weren't allowed to drive. And the fact that now we're hearing something like, you know,
more women in AI,
more
than,
women
men.
In AI than men. I mean, that's something so rare to that's something so rare to hear. So I think it underscores how much of a big achievement this really is.
Yeah. And talking about achievements, investor sentiment in the UAE has remained strong, with the country ranking 9th globally and maintaining its first place position among emerging markets on the 2025 Foreign Direct Investment Confidence Index, that's the FDI index. That's according to global consulting firm Kearney, which released the annual index this week.
Now, the UAE also ranked 2nd globally in market optimism, reflecting sustained confidence in the country's economic fundamentals. Now, despite, like, geopolitical tensions and global volatility. You know, we've seen what just happened with Trump's tariffs. The UAE was slapped to the 10% tariffs. Investors continue to favor the UAE for its business-friendly environment, policy stability, and robust economic performance.
And while the UAE dropped slightly from 8th to 9th on the main index this year, its consistent presence in the top 10 highlights its continued appeal as a global investment hub, particularly as emerging markets face greater scrutiny.
Now, this is great. Honestly, I expected nothing else. The fact that investor confidence is still strong.
Yeah. People outside Europe, I remember this video, Tucker Carlson. We always mix up his name. Not only both, I also sometimes am confused. It's Carl Tuckerson. It's Tucker Carlson.
It's okay.
He was talking to Rio Ferdinand.
They mix up our names. Yeah. It's fine.
He was talking to Rio Ferdinand. I remember I saw a clip on socials. And the clip said Rio Ferdinand was like that if he has recently started investing in the NEOM projects and in some sports projects as well. He's a Man United legend, used to play as a central defender. He was talking and he said that if after 10 years I come here and people still say, oh, Rio Ferdinand from Manchester United, that means I haven't done anything. So the idea is, he's like, the country is building so much. Sorry, I'm linking it to Saudi Arabia because remembered the clip. But it's the same with UAE. People are coming here not just to invest because, oh, the environment is great and they're going to make money over their money. They're coming here to do something extravagant, something new, which has never been done. Air taxis in UAE, never been done in the world. We just talked about pods. Flying pods.
I don't like the idea of this air taxi. If I'm like late to work one day, imagine it's going to be like, Ward, you had no excuses.
You can take an air taxi.
You could have been flying. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
go on.
But the idea is that so many new things are being done in this region, especially in Saudi Arabia and UAE, that people from outside, I don't think there is anyone in Europe right now who's not thinking about coming here and investing here. That's clearly the idea. And we did the millionaires report as well. 81,200 millionaires added in just last year. That's a big number. You put 81,000 people in a auditorium, I don't think you can fill it. You can't even fill a stadium. The biggest stadium for cricket in the world is 100,000 people. And when you look at that, it's in India, you look at that and you're like, how much people are there? Coca-Cola Arena has like 12,000. You go to Coca-Cola Arena, you're like, so many people. That's like 10 or 12,000, I think, maximum. So imagine 81,000 people coming to the UAE, millionaires, not people who are looking for jobs or anything. Millionaires coming to the UAE. That shows that UAE is doing something great, and also neighbors, Saudi Arabia, they're
it
doing
is,
something
it
great.
It is, but Majid, wouldn't you argue that that's like destroying the job market here?
No, it's not going to. See, a millionaire will come, set up a company, give at least two jobs to two people. So he may
makes
hire
sense.
A very low-level labor person who maybe he pays 6,000, 7,000, but at least he'll create two jobs. So every millionaire creates at least one. And if he doesn't even create a job, he'll set up a business here. He'll invest in property. Yeah. So eventually the country, the money that comes into the country is used for us. The projects that we see, road congestion problems, they're solving it. Sewerage problems, they're solving it. All this is from the money that they make.
Maybe, I wouldn't say it would destroy the job market, but I think that obviously if the quality of life of the people in the country, if they're mostly wealthy people, what's going to happen is prices are going to go up.
No, prices don't go up. The basic price function is demand and supply. So I don't think a millionaire goes to Carrefour still. I don't think they go to Lulu.
I don't mean Carrefour. Because,
no, I'm just saying.
In the sense of like normal clothing stores.
No.
Like things will go up.
No.
They will
will always stay. See, there's always every country that you go to, not even UAE, talk about any country in the world, the basic economics of it is that you'll always have a separate market for the poorest people, then you'll have a middle class market, and then you'll have the luxury brands. Like you can name the luxury brands better than me. I know the cheaper markets. I always go to Centrepoint, R&B. And even I realized after a long time of staying here that R&B and Centrepoint are even expensive. So if a shirt there is like 49 dirhams, you go to a lot of markets in Sharjah. My wife has told me I never went there, but I would want to go somewhere. You can buy the same quality, same shirt for 20, 18, 15 dirhams. So everyone has a market in this country and in every country. In Pakistan, you have the best luxury brands. You have H&M, you have Marks & Spencer, you have Zara, you have Mango. But not everyone buys a Mango. It's for the rich people. But for the poorer people, we have Landa Bazaar. It's a very weird name.
Mango is expensive in Pakistan?
It's very expensive.
Really?
A very basic jacket. I went inside and I saw the prices. A very basic jacket was like 80,000 Pakistani rupees. That's like 1,000 dirhams. And I thought it was like cheap. And I thought it was expensive. But then when I came to UAE and saw the prices, it was like 200 or 300 dirhams here. And I was like, they're getting a premium, like 700 dirham premium.
Why do they overinflate it in Pakistan?
Not Pakistan. It's just all underdeveloped countries. Because then when they export the stuff, export duties, this, that, blah, 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 blah. It goes up to 60%, and then the 40% is the person who opened the store, the bought the franchise and that. So a lot of people eat in between. But the main idea is that poor people, rich people, middle class people always have their own separate market in every country possible. We're just talking about Shein.
God. Shein,
5 dirham for this cover, and if I go to a market, it's the same as for like 40, 50 dirhams.
Yeah.
Apple iPhone covers, you can buy it for 100 dirhams even in UAE. But you go to then Dragon Mart. We were just talking about Bharat Mart. You go to Dragon Mart, you'll get it for 10 dirhams.
You can get things cheaper on Shein, more so than Dragon Mart. But now we're going to move to our last topic for the day. And I would say the most exciting, a Saudi prince has actually invested in the de-extinction of the dire wolves. Just wait until you find out who.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's very real. On a 2,000-acre compound in Texas, 3 genetically engineered wolf pups born in October 2024 roam the fields. One is named Romulus, the second is Remus, and the third one, the most interesting one, the female one, is named Khaleesi. Because
Game of Thrones. Very Game of Thrones.
They resemble the Ice Age's long extinct dire wolves, but they're not fantasy. They're the result of advanced gene editing. And behind this scientific leap is Saudi-based KBW Ventures, which is Khalid bin Al-Waleed Ventures, led by Prince Khalid bin Al-Waleed Al-Saud, a key figure in the kingdom's push toward tech-driven investment.
Now, the pups were created by Colossal Biosciences, a Dallas startup on a mission to bring back extinct species like the holy mammoth, the dodo bird, and the Tasmanian tiger. Now, in 2023, KBW Ventures backed the company during its Series B round, and by January 2025, Colossal had raised over $435 million, reaching a $10 billion valuation. Previously, it was $1 billion. And their gene editing breakthrough used CRISPR to insert 20 dire wolf traits into gray wolf DNA. This is such a crazy milestone in synthetic biology. I cannot believe it's real.
Yeah, and when they got funded, Colossal Biosciences in January, Prince Khalid told AGBI that Colossal represents the kind of world-changing idea made for venture capital. His portfolio reflects that ethos, with early bets on Beyond Meat, which produces plant-based meat products, and Geltor, which creates animal-free proteins for the cosmetics, food, and nutrition industries. The story of a Saudi venture fund supporting de-extinction and next-gen food tech is not just visionary. It's reshaping how the region engages with innovation.
Now, Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030, I feel that it's more than just about economic diversification. It's about global leadership and frontier technologies. You know, through bold investments and ambitious partners, startups like KBW Ventures is helping position the kingdom at the cutting edge of biotech. From synthetic biology to AI and sustainable food, the future may just have, you know, Saudi written on absolutely everything. And I think, you know, with the story, Majid, what it's showing me is that Saudi Arabia, they are a part of such huge, large milestones.
Yeah.
If you know this story and you're seeing the internet, it's trending.
Yeah.
There is so much buzz around it. So the fact that, you know, they're a part of that, they're a part of history. Do you think it's ethical, though?
Yeah. The way this came to my mind, I already knew that KBW Ventures was a part of Colossal Bioscience. 2003, I wasn't really looking at it, but recent funding I went and I was like, okay, who is funding them? I always do. It's a very nice way to find out because a lot of these funds, they don't tell you that. Mm. They're so secretive. Like, imagine investing some money into a venture in 2023 valued at $1 billion. The price has like 9 times increased. They're worth $10 billion. Even if he cashes out right now, he'll have so much money. So investment-wise, best investment. 2 years, your investment multiplies by 9. Then the idea of creating a direwolf, obviously it was inspired by Game of Thrones because we saw Game of Thrones, everyone saw it. We saw the direwolf, we saw Jon Snow and all the Starks having one each.
I want one.
Yeah, you really can buy one, I think, just $2-3 million.
Like, you know, Majid, I was such like an animal hater. Wait, when I say animal hater, I don't mean I don't love animals. I love animals. It's just I can't take care of them.
Oh.
Like I saw this story on Love in Dubai where it said this guy like adopted 400 cats. Only. Over 400 cats, and I'm like, excuse me, like I can barely, you know, take care of myself. I'm not taking care of 400 cats, but beside the point, I have this cousin, she had this dog. And she told me that when she was younger, she was walking in the streets of Sudan and she was going to get kidnapped. And she told me the reason why she did not get kidnapped is because her dog started screaming and yelling and biting the kidnapper's leg. So now in my mind, I need one of these direwolves. I really do. I need one of them. But I feel like they're going to be really expensive. Is there a price mark on them?
No, they're not for sale for now. Hopefully they will. They're trying to grow them to like big size. And they want, the funny thing is, they're not just creating these extinct animals. Sooner or later, they're trying to make a whole ecosystem for them as well. Mm. So they don't like live in cages and just small areas. They want to bring back those areas as well. So there's another one, dodo bird. It's a very weird bird that I read about. So it's an extinct flightless bird that was endemic to the island of Mauritius. So it was usually found in Mauritius, was flightless. Like it couldn't fly and it was bigger than a duck, but smaller than an ostrich, very in the middle of an ostrich and a duck. But it was flightless, so it was very easy to hunt upon. So it became extinct because of that. Thankfully and interestingly, humans had no part to play in its extinction, a lot like other animals. Then they want to bring the woolly mammoth. Woolly mammoth is the guy in Ice Age. If you've seen the movie Ice Age, that's the guy they're trying to bring back.
It's ethical to invest in such things.
Yeah. Going back to how I found it, there was an opinion on Bloomberg. I only read the headline. I tried to open it. It's paid. But then I went on a deep search and found out that a lot of people, one of the founders of this whole colossal biosciences is a Harvard professor. So I went on, I found videos, comments, a lot of it. There's a division. Some people say it's not good to bring back those animals because there was a reason they became extinct and blah, blah, blah. Then you need to create a whole ecosystem to sustain them or like trying to save them from extinction. The second part is that the idea of how they were made is very nice. You can use that synthetic biology, biotechnology, technology to do so much more. It's not just bringing back animals. Maybe someday this technology will be used to cure cancer, cure other diseases. So it's not just an implementation in terms of like, oh, you did this, so we can bring any animal back. The idea is that you perfect a technology and then use it for other purposes as well. Mm-hmm. So most probably we'll see other purposes of this technology, of how they've used gene sequences.
Something feels really wrong about this because also we need to like, deep something. The climate has completely changed due to climate change, the overuse of fossil fuels. Yeah. Yes, there's renewable energy, but, every single time I'm driving home, I'm still seeing that smoke coming out of a car. But, I'm in a car, but the point is that especially with the climate now, it's different, Majid. The air that the people 100 years ago breathed is different than whatever air me and you are breathing. So, I do pose the question of, will those animals be okay? Will our new environment be livable for them?
That's the question they're trying to answer themselves. So they're bringing back the animals, but they are trying to bring back the ecosystem as well. So maybe bringing the animal will also help them find funds and create the ecosystems again. Dodobirds needs Mauritius, so if and when they're created. Woolly Mammoth DNA, I remember, they said 2026, they'll have the first baby. So 2026, we'll see the first woolly mammoth, and they'll use an elephant to give birth to it. A lot of bioscience, biotech science goes behind it. As a biology nerd, always loved biology, hated chemistry and physics, but loved biology. So I understand the science behind it, but just go search for it. It's a really interesting story, how gene mutations, gene replication, everything that gene can do, and every one of us has a set of genes. So yeah, just go. Best case scenario, I'll give you one thing that no one will tell you. Go search for Storybots. Storybots are a cartoon, the best cartoon on the planet right now. My son watches it. I found it for him. Storybots have 10-minute episodes where a kid asks a question, and these small, cute storybots, five of them, I know all the names because of my son, Bing, Bang, Bo, Beep, and Boop, they go and they find actual answers. So one of the episodes is about why do I have green eyes and how are humans made? And that tells you in the easiest way how genes work, how proteins work, why your eyes are black, mine are black, why your hair is this way. Very, very interesting. So
it
yeah.
is very interesting. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. That's a wrap for today. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smash Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Thank you so much to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms and across all shows. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Keep listening and keep sharing this stuff with other people. Someday you might get some very interesting information from us.
Have a good day. Bye.